Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. Joining me today is Sam Winsbury. Sam turns business owners and coaches into powerful personal brands so that they can grow their businesses on LinkedIn. He also hosts a weekly podcast and contributes to one of the top 10 business blogs in the world. Outside of work, he loves meeting other entrepreneurs and is passionate about music and sports. Sam, I'm so happy to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Ashley. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited to chat to you.
Likewise. I'd love if you could start off by talking about what you do and what led you there.
Yeah, so as you quite rightly said, I help business owners, founders, and coaches build up personal brands using platforms like LinkedIn, which are very popular at the moment in terms of growing people's businesses on social media. So that's kind of the long and short of what I do. I kind of stumbled into it, actually. I got into marketing just through a couple of projects. My entrepreneurial journey kind of began in high school, where I was just writing blogs for fun with a friend. Through that, I got into all sorts of marketing things and then eventually settled on personal branding. That was kind of where my passion met my expertise. So yeah, that's kind of the journey up until now. And I'm just working on building out this business and growing it as much as I can.
Love it. And I especially admire that you really kind of got into this space by starting a blog in high school, because I was the same exact way. That's how I got started in marketing. Yeah, I had a fashion and lifestyle blog, which led me to marketing and made me realize how much I enjoyed doing it. So I think it's pretty cool that you had the same experience. But one thing I'm curious to know, and I know you just mentioned that you really found that sweet spot with personal brands, but what made you want to focus on LinkedIn specifically?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. So as I said, I started off doing general marketing stuff. I did a lot of sort of paid ads, like Facebook ads and things like that for companies. And I'd sort of heard that LinkedIn was a great platform for that. And before that, I thought it was just a place to get a job and there'd be loads of kind of corporate people in suits there. But I started using it to try and get clients for my general marketing services. And then what eventually started happening was people were actually coming to me on LinkedIn for help with their profiles rather than for help with marketing things and stuff like that. So that's how I got onto LinkedIn, and then eventually through that transitioned into personal branding.
That's wonderful. And LinkedIn has been such a powerful tool for people to be able to increase their visibility and also generate leads. So that second part I think is really interesting in terms of being able to use LinkedIn to not only grow, but also get those prospective clients and customers. So what's like your process for helping clients do that? And what do you find to be the best tips surrounding that?
Yeah, so LinkedIn at the moment is a very, as you said, it's a great platform for getting leads because it's so business focused. It's not, for anyone kind of with the concern that I had that it was just going to be a place to get a job, it's not like that at all at the moment. It's changing a lot. And it's actually an amazing platform with some really inspiring people. So I think the first stage is kind of optimizing your profile and making sure you have a good kind of like a home ground or a base for yourself. Because if whatever you're doing, if someone comes to your profile and it's messy and it doesn't explain what you do clearly, it's sort of a big turnoff for them. They're not going to follow anymore, right? It's
right.
Like having a messy house.
If someone it's like comes that to your first house, impression.
Exactly. So that's kind of the first stage of making it really clear what you actually help people with. And then there's sort of two more key things. The first is content and actually posting your own content to LinkedIn. It's a very content deficient platform at the moment, meaning that there are a lot of people on it, but not many people creating content. So the result of that is that any content you do produce gets in front of loads of people. The organic reach is really, really high. So you can easily have a post get in front of thousands of people, which is great from a marketing perspective. So kind of creating effective content that shows that you are an expert in what you do, or you clearly have a lot of knowledge is a key part of it. And then I think the last part is building connections, is actually speaking to people one-to-one and collaborating with people and getting to know people on a deeper personal level. I think that's probably the benefit that LinkedIn has over other platforms like Instagram or Facebook, is that people are there to build connections. So yeah, that's a really powerful way to do it as well.
You mentioned some really great points here that I want to dive deeper into. And one of them is posting your own content, which I think is an excellent thing to be doing on a consistent basis. So when you're building a personal brand on LinkedIn, what types of content do you find typically performs well to help your clients kind of get that traction and get seen in front of more people?
Yeah. So there are lots of different things you can post. I tend to break it down into three main things that you want to be posting consistently. The first, and the one that you're going to be posting the most of, is educational content. So things that, that teach people what you know, basically. So if you're an expert in marketing, you'd be teaching people around how to grow their business on social media, maybe. The other two are personal and what I call proofing posts. Personal posts really help with what I was saying about building connections with people, because they're about you as a person. You know, people want to do business with other people nowadays, not just with a sort of a website or a business. They want to know the people behind it. So posting personal posts is a really great way to kind of show your personality and express yourself at the same time. And that actually gets people resonating with you, and they start to trust you and like you. And that's when you kind of, you have a good relationship with them, and a relationship that will eventually make them buy, I guess, in the future. And then the last one that I mentioned, proofing posts. These are really key and probably the hardest to get right. They're posts that are things like case studies, testimonials, results that show you can bring about a certain result for people. So if you just got a great result for a client and they recorded a video, that'd be perfect. If you had maybe been on a podcast and it was a really good podcast, you could post a clip of that, and that just shows authority. So those are probably the three main posts I'd advise people to put out there if they want to grow their personal brand.
I love those, especially the third one, the proofing, because I feel like, and you probably see this, but not many business owners do that enough, because they kind of tend to have like this block about wanting to promote themselves or come off as salesy and stuff like that, which prevents them from moving forward on content like that. But content like that is so helpful because it shows to your clients and ideal audience why you're an expert in your industry and why they should want to work with you. So making sure to sprinkle in posts like that as they come up is so important for being able to establish your thought leadership and grow your brand.
Yeah, I mean, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head there. That's exactly what it's for. And yeah, I think people are a bit too afraid of coming across as salesy, because, you know, we've been told that that selling is bad, right, by a lot of people, when I think being salesy has its pros and cons. There are times where it's not appropriate, but selling itself is not a bad thing, especially if you've got something that's going to improve people's lives. You kind of have a duty to be selling it. You know, you have something that's going to better their lives. So why wouldn't you be giving it to them, basically? But I think probably the best way to get around that objection is to actually include some education within those posts as well, because then you're giving something before you actually ask for something in return.
I love that mindset that you have about, if you're providing something that is improving people's lives, then it's your duty to sell. I love that.
Yeah. It's because, well, I had the reservations as well at the start. You know, I was thinking, oh, I'm just a young kid. I'm, you know, early 20s, what could I possibly offer people? You know, they don't want to hear from me. And then I realized that it doesn't matter how old you are, if you have something beneficial, then you should be offering it to people.
No doubt. And the second part of my question that I had following content was the connections part. So you mentioned building connections, and there, I'm sure that there's definitely some type of strategy behind it on being strategic with who you're connecting with. So what would you recommend in that sense?
Yeah, again, you can kind of break it down into three sorts of people you should be connecting with. The first is potential clients, or people that you'd like to do work for. These are obviously the ones that are going to bring the money into the business, right? The people that you're going to be serving and ultimately buying from you. So that's obviously kind of a no-brainer. You need to be connecting with them and building up trust with them and establishing relationships. The others are, so firstly, people that are in your space and at kind of a similar level to you, maybe slightly higher. So if you're in, so someone in personal branding, for example, is quite an easy example, would be connecting with other people around the marketing space. So it might be Instagram coaches, it might be Facebook ad managers, that sort of thing. People that have a similar audience, basically. And what they're useful for is things like collaborations, opening yourself up to different audiences. And kind of, yeah, I think collaboration is probably the main thing. I always think that cooperation is better than competition. And then the last are kind of higher level influencers. So let's take Gary Vee as an example. He's probably quite a well-known one. He's very high level. He's almost famous on platforms like Instagram and LinkedIn, right? Whilst you might not get a response if you sent him a connection request on LinkedIn, there's sort of people that are similar kind of level to him that are more open to connecting. So that kind of higher level influencer type person, if you like, is another good type of person to connect with.
Those are great. And I think that it'll really help people to find strategic ways to grow their connections. But one thing I want to ask you, Sam, is that once people build their connections, especially with those ideal clients and people that they'd like to work with, do you recommend that people kind of send some type of LinkedIn message where they reach out to these people and kind of initiate the conversation to almost get that lead generation going? Or what's kind of like your process and thoughts on that whole sense?
Yeah. So one thing I can absolutely say is don't script it. So a lot of people will have a script and they send the same script off to every single person, but that's not the most effective strategy because everyone has a different agenda and different stories and will say different things. It's not always appropriate to do that. But I think it kind of boils down to two things, is being A, personal. So being a human with them, you know, you're speaking person to person, not business to business or business to consumer. You're both humans. So kind of take that approach and realize that. And the second is be practical. You know, you kind of, whilst you are being human, it does pay to have a strategy and to do certain things strategically. So I always, when I'm sending connection requests or starting a conversation, I always like to connect on a personal level first. So try not to talk about business or anything before you've actually connected on a personal level. Maybe you have a mutual interest or mutual connections, or maybe you used to live in the same place, that sort of thing that actually builds up a bit of rapport between you straight away.
I think that's excellent advice, is to just really get to build that credibility with the person and get them to know you before you start to try to hit them with something that will kind of push them down your sales funnel. So I think that's really important advice to keep in mind for people who do want to use LinkedIn to start generating leads over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it always sort of, it pays to build up that trust, because then if someone isn't ready to buy right now, you haven't put them off by trying to sell them something kind of aggressively. That they still trust you and they still like you. So when it is the right time for them to buy, you're going to be the person they come back to. So it's not a sort of win-lose strategy. It's a win-win strategy.
Absolutely. And Sam, have you found LinkedIn groups to be beneficial for you and your clients?
This is a really interesting point. I don't think LinkedIn groups yet have the same kind of capabilities as things like Facebook groups do. Facebook groups are very well developed and work really well in terms of targeting people, but LinkedIn doesn't seem to have put the same amount of effort into them. There's still cases where you can find, you know, highly targeted groups of people. It might be your target audience and you can locate them. But generally, because the LinkedIn feed is so good at the moment with organic reach being so high, people don't tend to engage much in groups. So I guess the feed is kind of one big group, if you like. As it were, as it kind of is on Facebook. But generally, I haven't seen as much success on LinkedIn groups.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was kind of feeling the same way, where I absolutely love Facebook groups. And I actually had just posted a blog post on this the other day saying that 76% of my clients come from Facebook groups because they're just so great with being able to connect with like-minded people and potential clients. But I have personally found LinkedIn groups to not really have that same feature or capability as Facebook groups do, and don't really feel like they are a good fit for connecting with others in a really meaningful way.
Yeah, and it's interesting. LinkedIn are making a lot of modifications and updates to the platform at the moment. There's loads of new features coming out, and all the new features are kind of lending towards the idea that it's going to be a more social platform. They're introducing things like stories. They've just dropped over in Australia, which kind of, it suggests that the owners of LinkedIn realize that it's moving towards a social platform. So maybe, I think in the next year, 2 years, maybe 3 years, they will put a bit more emphasis on groups, especially as more people join the platform, and they will hopefully improve.
Good to know. Thanks for sharing. And Sam, since you had really kind of got started in marketing while you were in high school and then kind of started going further from there, what was the most difficult part of starting your business while young?
Yeah, that's a great question. I could probably put it down to two or three things. One would be time, you know, managing studies alongside it. One would be having to sort of sacrifice and maybe not have as much of a social life as you might if you're not doing it. You kind of do have to make sacrifices for this sort of thing. But I think the hardest for me was kind of an age problem. I think I used my age as an excuse for a bit. And I think it held me back, you know, thinking that I couldn't do it just because I was young, or people wouldn't take me seriously because of my age. But then I kind of looked around and saw people that were 20, people that were 18 or 15 doing amazing things. And it kind of makes you realize that age isn't really a factor. I mean, you just have to create an identity for yourself as someone that is worthy of these people's time.
You're absolutely right. And you really nailed it with both points that you said in terms of sacrifice with time, because at this age, we have so many different things going on that being able to really manage our time extremely well for what we need to do is important. But then two, also ageism that comes with it. So ageism from other people, but then also our imposter syndrome about our age.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that did it for me was actually using age as an advantage. So especially for you and I in the kind of marketing world, we've grown up around social media. So we kind of have that advantage over other people that we understand it more. So I guess in any way you can, you have to find a way to flip your age into a positive.
Most definitely. And on the opposite end, what was the most rewarding part of starting your business while young?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think having or being able to work with people that are doing social good and improving the world. You know, when you have a client that's doing something that you can really buy into, being able to help them kind of grow that and get their message out there and seeing real world benefits to it is hugely rewarding.
Right. It's like knowing that you are directly helping someone who is helping this greater good. And so you're physically seeing the results that you're bringing this person in their business and helping move them forward, which in return is helping you move forward because you're growing your business by working with more people.
Exactly. It's a win-win-win.
No doubt. And Sam, what do you think led to your success?
Oh, that's a good question. I think persistence is probably the key. I see persistence as a combination of patience and urgency, which is kind of a weird paradox, if you like. But to explain it a little bit more, I think you need to be urgent in your actions. So, you know, take action today and don't delay, make decisions and kind of get yourself out there. Don't keep putting it off, but also be patient in waiting for results. You know, realize that it doesn't always happen overnight. Some people have to work tens of years to get overnight success. Sometimes it builds up gradually, and just realize that it takes different amounts of time for each person. And the more you stick around and persist, the more chance you are of going to have success.
Yeah, persistence is a great one. And since you mentioned that, I want to ask you, was there ever a time in your business where you had to make a shift in order to get to that next level, or you realized things just weren't working and you needed to make a change?
I mean, frequently, yeah. I think it in the life of an entrepreneur, I think it happens regularly, maybe even daily. You have to kind of shift things and adapt yourself and constantly improve your kind of mindset and your identity. And that's something that kind of only sort of hit me quite recently. I used to think it was all very much strategy focused and doing certain things. But then I started to realize that it's actually your being as well as the things you're doing. It's the being as well. And often it's not actually the doing of entrepreneurship that is hard. You know, it's you know, taking photos and learning social media marketing, that sort of thing can all be learned. It's the kind of emotional side of being able to put up with losses and with people saying no and that sort of thing that distinguish the good entrepreneurs from the unsuccessful ones. So I think realizing that and constantly updating my mindset around that has probably been the biggest shift that I've made.
Yeah, and I think that's a great one too, because one thing that I say when I first started my business was that I didn't realize how much mindset went into business. I just thought it was all strategy and development and growth and things like that, but I had no idea how much of an impact that mindset can bring to your venture. And once I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh, once my mind and perspective are in the right place, that's what's helped me to up level in addition to the strategy. But it's definitely not just strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that.
And Sam, if there was one thing you wish you did differently, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Ooh, I think the quote, "You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great," comes to mind there. I think if I remembered that from the beginning, I would have accepted that you don't have to be the finished article right away. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to either know more than someone else, someone that you're helping, or be slightly better at something than someone else in order for you to help. You don't have to be the finished article right away, and no one expects you to be, but just even so, you know, get started and improve over time.
I'm glad you mentioned that quote, because that is actually also one of my favorite quotes. I remember when I was first starting my business, like it took me, I think, about 8 months to actually plan it before even launching, because I was so focused on all of the details that didn't really matter. Like I was spending way too much time trying to make sure that everything was just perfect. But the ironic thing is, my business is a complete 180 now than when it was 3.5 years ago when I first started. So it's like, you shouldn't spend all this time making sure everything is absolutely perfect, because you're going to end up changing things no matter what. So it's like just kind of getting past that and stop putting that perfectionism at the forefront of things, and really just going ahead and doing it is what's most important for being great, as you mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, done is better than perfect, and chances are, whatever you plan is going to change a lot. I imagine it's going to be similar for you. You said it changed 180 degrees. You can't really predict the path of entrepreneurship. So spending all the time trying to make things perfect probably isn't the best use, I guess. You kind of just have to roll with the punches.
Absolutely. And it reminds me of a conversation that I had with one of my clients last week. She said, anyone who answered the question 5 years ago, where do you see yourself in 5 years, got it completely wrong. And that's just because of how 2020 has been going. So it's stuff like that. I mean, you really can't expect to be in this certain place, because there's so many different internal and external changes that can occur over a time period. And so not getting so caught up in the little details, but more so just always looking at what you can do to keep moving forward and growing, is so much more beneficial for your business.
Yeah, definitely. I think rather than planning, sort of setting out exactly how you want your business to go, I think planning how you can be adaptable and adapt your business around things that are going on is probably a much better strategy.
Absolutely. And when it comes to, for when you have adapted your business, what are some key things that you keep in mind in terms of when you know when you need to adapt and how you need to adapt?
Yeah, so it all kind of has to revolve around clients and what clients want. So if, for example, I get an influx of clients wanting more coaching on the kind of content side of building a personal brand rather than the brand positioning side, that's kind of the switch flicking in my brain where you realize, okay, maybe I need to adapt what I'm offering to people so that it actually fulfills a need or a want in the market, and kind of playing up to that. You know, you can't supply something that there's no demand for. It's kind of simple economics, really, and kind of getting a balance between what people want and what you can offer is the key.
Excellent advice. And that was one thing that I did too, exactly as what you did with the coaching. When I first started, I focused on just social media management, so handling my clients' accounts for them. But then I had a few potential clients come to me and they were like, well, I don't necessarily want someone to be posting for me because I'm able to do that, but I rather just want someone to actually teach me how to do so properly. And that's when a light bulb went off in my head and I'm like, oh, this is a service that I'm not offering that people clearly need. And so I think your advice of just being able to listen to what your clients need and what they're asking you for, and then being able to create offers that help them with those problems, is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, growing a business is all about customers or clients. So, you know, if you don't understand them or understand what they want, the kind of things they need, then you haven't really got a place to start. So yeah, it's everything.
No doubt. And Sam, why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. I think the thing for me that kind of pushed me through the barriers when I was, you know, when you go through hardships and you want to maybe give up and you think, oh, I'm so young. I think for me, the thing that did it was forward thinking ahead to 10, 15, 20 years time. When everyone else is trying to start a business in their 30s or 40s, if you start one when you're 20, you have 10 or 20 years experience on them. And that's invaluable. You know, just having that behind you and being able to share with customers or clients, you know, this is how much experience I've had compared to someone that's been in the game for 1 year, you're probably going to come up top trump. So I think having that kind of future-oriented mentality and knowing that you're going to come up good in the future is probably the biggest thing.
I think that's great. And especially too, with what you said, I mean, the more time you have to work on building your business, the more time you have to make an impact. So with these people who may just be 1 year in their business while you're 10 years in yours, I mean, you've probably had incredible accomplishments and press features and worked with really cool people and all of this stuff. And so, and that's just because you had more time to do so. So that's what I love about entrepreneurship at a young age is that you have so many more opportunities the younger you start.
Yeah, opportunities is a great word. I think people often talk about luck and say that a lot of successful people have gotten lucky, but they've put themselves in the position to get lucky. You know, they've done the things that other people haven't to kind of be in that position for luck to happen to them. So if you start at a young age and do that more often, then you're kind of playing up to luck and you might get lucky, but really I don't think it is luck. I think it's strategy because you've put yourself in that place, but yeah, it gives you the opportunity for that to happen to you.
I absolutely love that. People put themselves in the position to get lucky. I think that's great. And also so true, right? I mean, nothing just happens suddenly. You have to put in the work in terms of strategy and mindset to get to those places and opportunities. So I think what you said was absolutely true.
Yeah, and often we don't kind of see the sacrifice that's gone into getting lucky and what people have actually done to be in that position. So I don't think you can ever take someone's success or luck for granted.
Absolutely. Sam, you have shared such amazing advice throughout this episode that I know our listeners will find incredibly invaluable, especially with everything involving LinkedIn. You shared some great tips there. But I'd love to ask you if there was one last piece of advice that you could leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting a business, what would it be?
Just get started.
It's a great one.
Be my three words.
It's true. And that totally relates to the saying that I always say, which is if you're even thinking about taking a leap, that's an indication that you should 100% take that leap.
Yeah, I like that.
Fabulous. Sam, I'd love if you could now share where listeners can find you online in case they would like to connect with you further.
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best place. I'm happy to connect with anyone over there and have a chat with you.
Perfect. And I'll leave a link to your profile in the show notes. That way people can click it. But Sam, thank you so much for being a guest on the Student to CEO podcast.
Ashley, it's been awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.